Good morning, and welcome to LifeSpring Church's Sunday morning service. My name is Tom Kirk. You know, one of the remarkable things about this technology that we've been using of recording our service is it doesn't matter where you are or where I am, we can still be together, and that is so good. Debbie and I are currently still in Florida. We were to be home a month ago, but the current situation has kept us here longer than what we had expected. I am so happy, though, and privileged to be able to share with you what's on my heart, even from 1,200 miles away. Many of you who've heard me share before know that I will often begin with a humorous story. Well, I am going to share a story, but this story is not humorous. But it is true, and I believe it can speak to all of us. Well, one day, a young man entered a bank wearing a mask. Now, this was before our current situation that's made wearing a mask into a bank or any public space an accepted practice. He approached the teller, he pulled out a gun, and he demanded money. He left the bank with $6,000 in cash from his robbery. He was soon apprehended, however, and before long he stood before a judge. The gun was admitted as evidence as part of his trial. The young man was found guilty and he was sentenced to prison. Well, the judge asked after the trial to see that gun. He just had some sort of a feeling about the gun. He had a friend who was an expert on guns and gun collecting. He called his friend, and his friend came and took one look at that gun, and then he exclaimed, "Where did you get this gun? It's worth at least $100,000. The young man had received the gun as an inheritance from his grandfather. Think about that. The young man robbed a bank and went to prison for stealing $6,000 when he could have simply just sold the gun and received $100,000 and remained a free man. Well, you know, we might shake our heads and say how sad, and it is sad, but I just want to say that many of us can do something very similar spiritually. You see, here's the thing. We all have a certain amount of talent and time, which we use to obtain other things, like money, or food, or shelter, clothes, etc. But it's so easy to waste what we have, especially time, for things that don't really matter. Those things can end up affecting the rest of our lives and even our eternity. All of our choices have consequences. Each day, we're trading that day and those resources for something. What will that be? Well, Jesus said not to worry about what we would wear, where we would live, or what we would eat. In other words, the necessities of life. What he said, though, was that we should think about our Father in heaven, because our Father in heaven knows that we need those things. But instead of focusing on those things, he said to first seek God's kingdom. And then all of those other things would also follow. You see, when we do that, we will be satisfied with the things that no one can take from you. To focus on what I don't have or what I wish I could have is to focus only on myself and what I think I want, rather than to focus on God and what I truly need. Jesus said, "What does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul?" In other words, living for instant gratification will rob you of spiritual blessing. Now, in the midst of this pandemic, it's kind of easy to focus on what I don't have and what I've lost, instead of thinking about what I may have gained as a blessing. Or how can I seek God in the middle of this upheaval in my life? You see, I believe that God has something great in mind for each of us during this time. The question is, will we seek it? Will we seek Him? There's no area of life where God's word will not have a positive impact if we apply it. But God doesn't go about making us happy and comfortable so that we can have things and live comfortably for ourselves. In fact, we can pray, Lord, bless me so that you can use me in your purpose of blessing others. You see, each of us has great spiritual privileges. You say, well, what would those be? Well, we've heard the gospel. We have the Bible. We live in a country where we can attend a church where the Bible is taught, even if that is online at the present time. We have other Christians who can help us grow in our walk with God. But you know, we can forfeit all of those spiritual blessings if we don't appreciate them and not take advantage of them and put them into practice. You see, the small choices can have major consequences. Now, with all of that being said, I'd like to tell you another story. Now, this story is about my mother, who's now with the Lord. You see, my mother was special. She was a guiding light that pointed me towards truth. She encouraged me, she motivated me with her wit and her wisdom and her grace, and I could go on and on with stories that would support just those very things. But this morning, I'll share just one story. A few years ago, Mom had to have angioplasty to open a clogged artery. I could tell she was hiding some fear, but after the surgery, when they were wheeling her back to her room, she was lying on that gurney with her eyes closed, but with her hand on her chest and her index finger raised to the sky. I said, Mom, are you okay? And without opening her eyes or moving, she started to sing. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. You know, she sang the whole song, and she never once opened her eyes. She always maintained that she didn't remember doing it, but I do know one thing, without realizing it, she was strengthening and encouraging me and the others that were around her, because that was who she was. She didn't spend her time thinking about it, she just did it. And she inspired others to do the same. Her lifestyle was one of sharing her faith by example. Now here's the thing. I believe that the perseverance of Christian believers is a shared responsibility. Jesus said in John 10, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand." But Jesus also said in Matthew 24, "He who endures to the end will be saved." In other words, those who are born of God are eternally secure in the hand of Jesus, but also those who are born of God must endure to the end to be finally saved. So here's the question. How has God intended to keep his people persevering in faith to the end so that he can fulfill the promise that they are secure and that none shall be lost? Well, this morning, I want to focus on a crucial part of the answer to that question. And it's this. God has intended that we be related to other believers in such a way that we can help each other to fight the fight of faith and to fight it successfully day in and day out. In other words, we first need to stay connected to God and also, and this is very important, stay connected to one another. Now, the biblical basis for that answer is found in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. Now you can jot that down if you want and read it for yourself later, but here's what it says. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. So my goal this morning is very simple. It's to motivate you to both exhort and be exhorted to fight the fight of faith day in and day out. Now, to illustrate the importance of encouragement and staying connected one to one another, I'm going to just give us a couple of points here. This is for every believer, and it's ongoing. Whether we're meeting together physically or not, we never grow out of our need for the ministry of other Christians. If you think that you're beyond the need for daily encouragement in the fight of faith, you know, then you may have already opened a door to the deceitfulness of sin that Hebrews 3 passage was talking about. You see, don't ever think that you don't need spiritual strengthening and encouragement. And don't ever think that you cannot be God's means to give strength and encouragement. All of us need to be spiritually strengthened. What a difference it would make in our church if when we woke up in the morning, we would plan to encourage and strengthen one another. Build into your life the intention and the occasions to do just that, especially now during these uncertain times. Make sure that you have others with whom you have the ongoing agreement that you will point each other to Jesus Christ. Now, why? Why should we do that? Because the whole point of Christian encouragement is to point each other to Jesus, not to other people, not to things, not to ourselves for help and strength, but to Jesus. Now, maybe that seems confusing, and because on one hand, I might say to you, I need you, and God has chosen you to help me to endure to the end. And that may be true, but it's also important to realize that the only way that you can really help me is by saying something or doing something that will cause me to depend on God and not you. See, that's what a spiritually healthy relationship consists of. It comes down to this: a God focus in all that we do, even in our relating to one another and our friendships. And even if there is a certain amount of fear in how we go about making that happen, it just doesn't always come natural to everyone, does it? But I want to say something about fear. Our fears, whatever they may be, often do hold us back from what God really wants us to have and to do. But when our intentions are working within the plan of God, God seems to open a door for us to succeed. Maybe it seems scary to reach out to someone, but remind yourself of this. Wouldn't you like to have someone like this in your life? Any fear that I can think of is much less important than the eternal consequences of not staying true to the Word of God. Never settle for less than what God intends for you and for others that He brings into your life. You see, that's why it's so important that we fill our minds and our hearts with the promises of God. For every fear that we might have, God has a promise. God is always saying in His Word, let me show you who I am. When you can't see how it's all going to work, step out and do it. Do it by faith. The more you know of God, the more you find that you can trust and obey. So much of the anxiety that we have in our lives stems from trying to do it on our own without asking God to provide what He sees is best for us, or by asking only after we've tried everything else on our own first. Give it all to God first. Trust His promises, and then watch and see how He provides on His timetable. See, here's the thing. We ask for help for what we need in prayer and with thanksgiving because God delights in it. Now, how do I know that? Well, I'll take you to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. And here's what it says. I urge you then, first of all, not last, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. This is good, and it pleases God, our Savior. And we also pray so that our thoughts become aligned with God's. In the Lord's Prayer, for example, we are very specifically asking that God's will be done on earth and in our lives. If you keep your mind in the Word of God and meditate on it, as Psalm 1 instructs us to do, then you will both know and be able to help others to find light in a seemingly windowless room. And you know what? I hear about so many of you already doing this, and it's remarkable. And I have nothing but praise for all of the ways in which it's being accomplished. Sandy's refresher this week highlighted many of them. Go ahead and read it. It's uplifting. But as God trusts us with more and more, and we continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus, that can and will initiate an even greater process of multiplying disciples who multiply other disciples. Why? Well, because that is the work of the church. Ephesians 4:15 tells us that what we need to do is to speak the truth in love to one another. And the truth that Paul had in mind there in that verse is the truth of God's word. So then, we can direct others to the truth in their time of struggle. And then we can confidently say, this heartache will not sink you. This trial will not overcome you. This loss will not break you. This confusion will not consume you, because God is with you. Because God is in charge. Because God has promised to work all things together for your good, because God has said, I am faithful. Folks, the Bible is filled with so many precious promises. And God wants us to not only be encouraged and refreshed by Jesus and the promises that He has made possible, but He also wants us to be encouragers, taking what we freely receive and freely giving it to others in their time of need. How do we do that? Well, first, we have to stay connected to each other. And another thing I've learned is that encouragement will often come from unexpected sources. I'll tell you another story. About a month ago, I went to the grocery store to stock up on enough to hold Debbie and I for a few weeks, or whenever the lockdown might ease up. We had no idea how long it was going to go on. And as I was checking out at the grocery store, a young man started to bag up the groceries. He was very friendly young man, and very personable. He was wearing dark sunglasses. And I noticed that he wasn't looking at what he was putting in the bags, but he still was doing just a perfect job of bagging up the groceries. And in the course of him speaking to me in our conversation, he asked me my name. So I told him. And his name was Rico. It was right there on his name tag. Rico insisted He just literally insisted on helping me take everything out to the car, and I finally relented. And then he reached down and he unfolded a red and white cane. Rico was blind. And as we started for the car, Rico said, "Tom, you keep talking so I know where we're going. In other words, share and lead." So I would speak every few seconds, but you know, it ended up that Rico did most of the talking. He said, "You know, this virus has everyone scared of what they can't see. But I can't see anything, so that's nothing new to me. The difference," he said, "was that I learned long ago that life was about trusting in God and believing in the kindness of the people of God. And that's why I love sharing the love of Jesus with others. It seems to help them, and it helps me. It's a win-win." Remarkable. As we reached the car, we both knew that we had made a spiritual connection. I prayed for him and I thanked him for the work that he was doing, both in helping people at the store and in his work of helping people to find peace and comfort by pointing them to the love of Jesus. Proverbs 12:25 says this. It says that anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. That's Rico. Did you know that our words can actually be a healing power in someone else's life? So as we close this morning, will you ask God to do that in your life or to keep doing that in your life? Most of us can think of encouragers God has given to us, can't we? Thank God for them, and if you can, then encourage them by letting them know how they've been an encouragement to you. And may we, as a church, model that very thing more and more so that Jesus might be more and more visible through us, not only to each other, but ultimately to a community and to a world that is desperately in need. That they might be drawn to Christ by the very thing that Christ himself taught us in John 13:35. "By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." We're living through a time right now where this is just so critically magnified. Many people have questions. Many are looking to God for answers. Many are ready. They're ready right now to activate even a small spark of faith. We have the opportunity where we can, as the church together, fan that flame. Please notice that I said the church, because the church is not a place. The church is not a building. Folks, we are the church, each and every one of us, if we've placed our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So here is the call of God to us this morning. Let us encourage and strengthen each other in God. We need to stay connected. We gain strength from one another, so much so that when we're faced with any adversity and the fear of the unknown, that we will be able to let our hearts sing in the midst of it. "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." Let's pray, folks. Thank you, Lord, for knowing that we need encouragement and for being the God of all encouragement. Open our eyes to the ways that we can give energy and life and grace and comfort, even when we feel needy. Help us to give of ourselves. Open our eyes, Lord, to see those that we can bless and encourage. Let our light shine for each other, and not only in this church, but beyond to a world that desperately needs that light. I pray just now for Karen Cheek, Cassidy Love's mother, who's struggling with cancer. For Richard McNeil during his road of recovery. For Sharon Lambden, we pray for strength and for healing. For Deb Campbell, that's Carrie's mother, and for Erna Bachman, James Little, Drew Lyons, all of whom are confined to home or to a nursing home with health problems, which is complicated further by this virus, which keeps others from going to them. I pray that, Holy Spirit, that you would comfort and encourage them. The need is great, but, O Lord, you are greater. I ask for guidance for all of our LifeSpring family as we navigate these uncertain times. And, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a blessed week, LifeSpring. Keep shining, and we'll gather again soon.